Mm-hmm. This is an anonymous question from someone, Guru Maharaj. And he's saying that when we're saying that devotees should enter the Vanaprastha ashram when they're 50, then sometimes it's also said that they should not think that they will have pension, rather they should save up, maybe have a few apartments they can rent out. But in Hungary, most devotees who are not living in a temple, their financial situation is not very good. They don't even own a flat, and they can barely pay for things from their income. So what would be a recommendation for them?
Difficult to say, because it may actually be that there's nothing else to do other than grin and bear it and see what the future holds. Although obviously at some time in the future they're not going to be able to work anymore, and that therefore they're going to be faced with the situation of how they're going to live. So as painful as it may be, it may be better to make a proactive plan when something is already inevitable and is just coming around the corner. But that doesn't give any necessary practical solution, just a course of action that would be wise for devotees to think about. And unfortunately, that's the situation, the sad situation of the world today, is that for many people, they've been brought into cities to become slaves of wealthy industrialists who don't have the same problem. And then later on, when they hit old, they live in poverty in their life, and when they hit old age, then they're even more in poverty, and much more difficult to be in poverty when you're old than when you're young. But in either case, is it very good? For people who are already in that situation, get some advice in terms of your personal circumstances and see what solution you can make. For devotees who are not yet in that situation or started, unless you're self-sufficient enough, clever enough to build up your own financial base, then be careful about even getting involved in that type of life. Therefore, instead, if that person was one of our volunteers now and he's a valuable person, then I say don't go out there in the world. Your service is guaranteed here. You're not going to be any worse off, potentially, but more likely better off, being a full-time devotee and depending on Radhe Shyam. But if someone doesn't have that opportunity anymore, then it becomes more troublesome. But for those devotees, life isn't what you think it's going to be for mostly everybody involved in it. It'll be much, much more difficult. So either you really have the guna, you really have the ability to make the material energy work for you. Otherwise, it's going to be a very difficult situation. And like all the other people in the world around us, the world is going to suffer. And then?
Another question from the same person. It says that this is connected to Vanaprastha still. That I've heard that in Krishna Valley it was advised that Vanaprasthas shouldn't cook at home for themselves, rather they should be eating the temple prasadam. This is not to be critical, but I've never seen a sannyasi who didn't have a specific diet. And it's understandable that as people age, they have different health situations, so they need different kinds of diets. And the temple kitchen cannot provide something that's suitable for everyone. So if it's all right for the sannyasis that they're fed separately or they have their own diet, why can't the vanaprasthas eat at home cooking themselves simple prasadam, if the quality of the bhakta prasadam is not suitable for sannyasis, why should it be suitable for others?
Well, there are no sannyasis. I'm the only sannyasi. Everyone else is a guest. So whatever their habits are as a guest, generally, you don't challenge that, but you try to accommodate them. That's what it means hosting guests. So you give them what they would like, and so that's what we do. And then, of course, often when sannyasis are here, then they're here for festivals, at which time they, the feast is going on, either fasting or feasting, and they're eating with devotees. Of course, it's not the case that the sannyasis don't eat with the devotees, or that, as far as myself is concerned, I eat with the devotees sometimes, and I don't eat with the devotees other times. Sometimes I eat what they eat, especially when they eat nice things like khichdi and so on, which are things that Prabhupada like to eat. And when they're attached to eating their Hungarian things and other things like that, then we don't eat. In other places like Budapest, the Bodhi prasadam is in the morning. So, and both myself and these people don't eat in the morning, so the Bodhi prasadam is over by morning time, and it happens at lunchtime. So other than that, there's restaurant prasadam. As far as information is concerned, whereas that's the standard for vanaprasthas, but either vanaprasthas, grihasthas, brahmacharis, if they have health issues, then they do cook for themselves, or they get something that's more suitable, because the kitchen can't cook for more than one thing at a time. So it's not just a vanaprastha issue. But certainly it would be the most ideal thing is if kitchens and cooks would cook that type of diet that Prabhupada gave us, because then generally everyone would be able to eat it if it was cooked in both the right way and with the right menu. Unfortunately, in Hungary, devotees are not so keen on eating Indian food or Vedic food. They like Hungarian food more, like palachinta and things like that. And like cucumber salad with potatoes and rice. And so that's if that's what they want to do, then that's fine for them. Otherwise, sometimes when I fast, I'm just eating fruit. Then I don't. I'm not eating what they're eating, which is something different. Anyway, it's not black and white, but there are mitigating issues. And it's not all as the question poses in terms of the facts of the case. Other thing?
This is from the same person. In the Hungarian yatra, most of the ladies who have been offering service, especially those who have been missionaries, had their children when they were around 40. So maybe the long-term plan isn't that they have children so late, but starting the Vanaprastha ashram at 50 doesn't seem practical for them. How should they think? It's just happening later, like when they're 60 or 65?
Yeah, it happens later. That's also not necessarily a statistically correct, that it's happening at 40. But when it does, then it happens later. So there's the general principle, pancha odram vanam brajet, and then the application of the principle, which may be that it's 50, 55, 60, but there's some kind of plan to actually retire. And of course, what do you do at that point when you retire? That you try to engage in full-time service, not... that you just continue on in family life, being a babysitter until you become an invalid. But while at least you still can, that you concentrate on spiritual practice and service and Hare Krishna.
This is a question from Baladev Das. He says that, please kindly speak about how when receiving a Govardhan Shila or any Shila, can we know which side of the Shila should be his face? Is it up to the worshipper? And also, if one receives a Shila that has been worshipped a certain way, I mean the face was considered a specific side of the Giriraj, can that be changed? If the worshipper is inspired to have the eyes on a different side of the Shila, is that okay?
He should ask these things from his spiritual master. Ultimately, he must have gotten permission to worship, so he should ask about the process from the same person through whom he's worshipping.
There are three questions from Rasa Parayana. Yes. The first one, is it bona fide to chant rounds for other people if they are sick or otherwise?
I think it's better, since I've never heard it or read about it in Prabhupada's books. We hear about prayers for other people. I would suggest probably praying honest prayer to benefit others' health or spiritual well-being is more effective, especially if one is chanting rounds offensively, then it may not even be to the person's benefit. So but rather the spirit or the sentiment is what's more important rather than the rounds. Better that everyone concentrate on listening to the Maha Mantra and then offer prayers for others' welfare.
What's the best way to deal with praise if it comes our way?
We should deflect it. We should say it's by the grace of my spiritual master, by the grace of Prabhupada, it's Krishna's mercy. Or it's just because you're a elevated Vaishnava that you see those things in me. But we should praise others who may praise us, but we shouldn't only praise those who we know are praiseworthy, but we shouldn't think ourselves to be praiseworthy. Otherwise, we may get burdened down by that type of praise.
The third one is, sometimes I hear a very good lecture by a devotee and I feel very inspired by them. Then I learn something that they have done in their personal lives which is quite non-Krishna conscious, and I become confused about how I should view them as a devotee. They can speak and preach so well, but Krishna consciousness does not filter through into some decisions they make in their lives or how they act in their own personal lives. What should I think of such devotees?
I don't think we have to think anything of devotees, but rather how we follow devotees. So when we first hear something, we give the benefit of the doubt that the speaker is actually Krishna conscious. When it later turns out that this was just gyan, this was knowledge, but it didn't have the real vigyan or the proper conduct behind it, then we recognize that, well, it's certainly his example is not one to follow. He may be speaking nice things or wise things. But still, such things exist. Mayavadis give Bhagavad Saptahas and have Bhagavad Gita memorized and give all kinds of esoteric explanations on things, and yet they don't even really believe that it's all a fairy tale. So, but we don't have to pass judgment on devotees. We just make our own evaluation of something that fine, that was nice, and especially we have to check whether what I heard was actually bona fide. And if it was, that's all right. But it's not an example. He's not leaving an example I can follow. Hare Krishna.